And I called regular board meeting of Nolan Unified School District Board of Education to order. It is now 4:30. Dr. Mitchell, roll call, please.
Perfect. Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Angelina Pride.
Present.
David Malkin.
Present.
Donna Friedman.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
All board members are present.
Item 1C, are there any changes? Item to pull up the agenda?
There are none from staff.
Mm-hmm. Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda of regular board meeting of February 8th, 2018? Engineer, a second. Don Freeman moved. All Freeman sat.
What'd you say?
All in favor?
Freeman say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carry. Public comment. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on closed session items?
There are none.
Okay. Okay, we will recess to closed session at 4:31. Okay.
Thank you. There's
something for tomorrow.
Oh, I haven't read it yet.
Salute. We are honored to be elected the Pledge of Allegiance by Nogales High School student Miguel Correa.
Good evening. If everyone please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Right hand over your heart. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Board recognition? Oh, closed session report. Closed session report. In closed session, the board voted to approve settlement agreements regarding underpayment dispute between the district and the employees. The roll call vote was as follows. Carrie Chen, yes. Lynn Embenkamp, yes. Don Freeman, yes. David Malkin, yes. Angelina Pry, yes. Motion carried. Board recognition. Next, we are going to move to board recognition. I'm going to turn this to Dr. Mitchell.
All right. Thank you very much. It's our pleasure tonight to recognize our Roland High School water polo team. And Teresa Healy is going to announce the names and share some information. And we'll have certificates.
You want to join me down here? Carrie, on the board.
Yep. Four. Everybody.
Turn this off.
Because we moved. Ready? Good evening. We are very proud of the Roland High School varsity water polo team. After training all summer and competing at the highest level during the fall season, the team held an overall record of 16-11 and a league competition record of 7-1. They were rewarded for all of their hard work by winning the Valley Vista League Championship and advancing into the CIF playoffs. If I could have Coach Justin Angiano come forward, please. And our principal, Mr. Brunier. Please join me in congratulating our boys' water polo team on their outstanding season. First, if we could have Jose Lopez come forward. Jose Lopez, besides being an outstanding member of our team, is also All-League and our team captain. Next, if I could have Anthony Alarcon come forward. Anthony is the league most valuable player and also one of our team captains. Jesse Lim. I know a couple are absent. Jesse is also All-League and All-CIF. Jin Paul Kim. He's not here either. But he's also All-League. We'll have for him too. Okay. Neil Dudheda. I just massacred his last name, didn't I? Congratulations. Alvin Chang. William Chu. Nope. No William. And I practiced his name, too. Jaden Morales. Andrew Bellin. Jacob Okada. Henderson Mock. And Matthew Cho. Come back. Wait, Matthew, back over here. This way. All right, so this is where you get to take the shots with the group. So moms, dads, paparazzi. So do like a water polo squat or something so they can see the board in the back. There you go. There we go. Don't go anywhere, guys. Let all the paparazzi go. They all have to want to take glamour shots. They want to zoom in. All right. So congratulations to our outstanding water polo team from Roland High School. That was it, yeah. Just one tonight. No, just one tonight. No, Moss. Okay. Next month we'll have a whole lot more, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, recognition and thank Nogales High School students, parents, staff, and community members for providing a refreshment. Report 4A, Nogales High School Spotlight Report. Miguel Carrillo.
Mm-hmm. Read the whole thing.
Jose Estrada and Casio Rodriguez. The 12th grade students from Nogales High School will provide a brief report highlighting what is going on their organization.
Very good. Thank you. Good evening, Roland Unified School District board members, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet members, Roland educators, and community. My name is Karen Clifford, and I'm an assistant principal at Nogales High School. I'm so excited to be able to share with you some of the highlights and things that are happening on Nogales campus. So now I would like to have Miguel, Shasid, and Giselle come up to the podium and give you guys a perspective on student life at Nogales.
Hello, good evening. Roland Unified Board members, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet members, Roland educators, and community. We would like to highlight some student experiences that make our high school an amazing place. I will be highlighting my life as a student at Nogales High School. I got to say, I'm a senior this year. I'm in the Noble Regiment, so I've had the opportunity to go to the Macy's Day Parade, which is really an exciting event. Throughout the 4 years that I've been in high school, I've noticed and I've seen dramatic changes in our campus, let alone like the construction that happened, right? And with our administration team that you guys hired, I got to say that I'm very happy and proud to be a Noble. The reason being is because, I don't know, it's just a different feel from when it was my freshman year to the transition from my sophomore year into my senior year now. Now we see connections with the students. For example, a couple events like football games, you see the band rattling everyone up, like playing pep music, and everyone singing together, and we're all just like one happy big community here at our school. And the way we just act with one another, it's just great. I feel like our school has grown and will continue to keep growing, right? Because that's just the way to go. You got to keep going. All this is coming like from my heart because it's really meaningful to me. I'm the type of kid who notices all the details, And I got to say, Mr. Nassouf, the way he addresses us in the intercom every morning, good morning, Nogales High School, right? It just adds a different vibe to us. And it just, like, for example, it throws me off. I'm not sure. It might throw them off as well. But it's just the different vibe. And I enjoy that vibe. Another example would be our teachers, like Mr. Maldonado. He is a geometry teacher. I had him my sophomore year. And I just enjoy how he implements real life examples into his lessons. He also includes like examples with like Star Wars and like all this like the 3D figures and stuff that he can implement in the geometry lessons that he gives us. Another example would be the custodian Joe. I don't know if you may know him, but he's like very passionate. He's always happy. He's got his speaker while he's cleaning the classrooms, and I pass by, and I'm like, hey, Joe, how's it going? And he's like, good, good, sir. How about yourself? And I'm like, I'm doing fine, right? So it's just, like, it's just different, and I'm, like, really happy to, like, be at this school, right? Where else? Another example would be for our extracurricular activities. We know that our football team did an outstanding job this year, right? They got Montbeat League champs, and I feel like I've seen them work very hard, and I feel like they truly deserve it. And little by little, they'll keep conquering, right? That's the plan. That's the goal, and they'll keep going up and up. That's the goal. For example, another example would be our basketball team. They just recently beat Duarte, I believe, last Friday, and it was a really good game, right? And everybody was just cheering and just together and happy, like, you know, because it's just those are the little moments that make us as a noble family, like, come together and just be happy for what we do here. All right. And one event that happened just recently called the Bite of Reality, it's a simulation that involved our seniors. And now I'd like to pass the mic to Shasid and Giselle and their glimpse of how it went in the simulation. Thank you.
Good evening, board member. My name is Shasid Estrada, and we had the amazing opportunity to experience the body reality. The body reality was a chance for us to have an actual real-life experience of the challenges that we will face with money and as well learning how to have a budget plan. It's an effective way for us teens to realize what the real world has ahead of us and as seniors going into college. The body reality, you had student loan debts, you were given an occupation, salary, and we were given a family as well. What I have learned and what I will take out of this experience is having a budget plan. As a senior, I have a job and made me realize that I should start saving up money right about now. As well, it gave me a bite of what the challenge the future holds for us and that we will have to be ready for those challenges in life. I would highly recommend this to all seniors because it really was an eye-opening experience on the obstacles that we will face after high school. Thank you.
Hello, good evening, everyone. I'm Jazar Jugas. I feel like us students at Nogales High School were given an amazing opportunity to engage in something like Bite of Reality. I would highly recommend Bite of Reality to other high school seniors like myself because it gives an overlook of how life is going to be after high school. In my perspective, I didn't really know what my next step after high school should be, but after attending Bite of Reality, I realized I want to be successful and to be able to provide for myself as I get older. Bite of Reality gave me a hands-on experience how I should manage and prioritize my life and my finances. It truly was a great experience, and I feel like this would really help other high school students. Thank you for all your time.
Wow, great job, guys. All right, tonight we have asked some colleagues and some friends to step forward to share with you some of the positive impacts that we are doing with our students at Nogales High School. So first, I'm going to invite Tiffany Tade to the podium.
Good evening, Board of Education, Dr. Mitchell, and audience. My name is Tiffany Tay. And I am one of the two instructional coaches at Nogales High School. So this year at Nogales, our instructional focus has centered around providing a first-class educational experience for our students. And so we've taken the Roland Unified School District's framework for teaching and focused on three stages that you see over here, learning objectives, evidence of learning, and designing learning experiences and instruction. And so what are we doing with that? So as coaches, my partner, Coach Brian Lamar, and I, a lot of our work are centered around those three stages. So we send out a biweekly coaches newsletter. We provide support within departments. We provide lesson design support, professional development, one-on-one coaching, and after-school lesson design opportunities with our teachers. And all of our work is centered around providing experiences that ensure a positive student learning experiences for all our students. And so I'm really excited to share where we're going with all of this. I think we've laid a lot of groundwork in terms of our instructional focus. And so what's coming next is to really refine our common language and really talk about what those practices look like within our classrooms to ensure that all of our students have a consistent learning experience, whichever classroom that they go to. And so what's coming next is that we want to really provide that clarity for our teachers. And one step that we've taken is to build our leadership team. And as you can see, that's our purpose statement that we all came up with together. And our leadership team is made up of the 5 administrators, 1 counselor, 17 teachers, and the 2 coaches. And together, we have agreed that we would want to positively unite and support all staff in embracing the best practices to ensure an equitable first-class learning experience for all our students. Thank you.
All right, next we have Mary Martinez and our PBIS support team.
Hello, my name is Mary Martinez, and I am the SERV teacher at Nogales High School. I'm going to be talking about our PBIS reward program. The purpose of our program is to encourage all students to exceed the basic expectations and be the best they can be in all areas on campus. So how does it work, right? It's really simple. First, teachers and administrators assign points to students for positive behavior both in the classroom and around campus. Students will be given 1 to 3 points based on each positive behavior. And then second, each student has a reward account where they can keep track of their points earned. They can check their points on their cell phones or on their computers. And finally, once the points are earned, students can spend their points by visiting the Noble store in room E2, which is the serve room, on Wednesdays, or by ordering their items on Noble Prime. Noble Prime will deliver their purchase to their classroom on Wednesdays, and this has really taken off. And I have some of our products right here, like our socks, our hats, and like I said, they have to earn those points with positive behavior, and the kids are loving it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. I also want to add that she's done some great videos that she sent out to teachers on how to download the app, how to give the points, and so the teachers have been very appreciative about that. So it's been an amazing program. All right, and last we have one of our community liaison, Nora Placencia.
Good evening. At Nogales High School last year, we were able to open a parent center for all the parents that have students at our school. And one of the things that we focused on was to increase our PTSA. Last year, we had 160 total members, and this year we've had a 30% increase, and we are still recruiting. So there's a really big chance that we will be doubling at least our goal. We have last year we were able to do two scholarships of $250 for our graduating seniors, and our goal this year is to do at least 4 of $250. We have 6 cabinet members that are always active at our school, and one of the things that we did to make sure that we would increase that is we added classified and certificated staff. We also included our parents and our students. And to date, we have had a lot more fundraisers than what we did last year, and one of our biggest one was our Proud Noble Parent t-shirt, which you can see on screen. We sold around 100 of those shirts already in this year, and there's still a lot of events where we will be continuing to sell them. In the Parent Center as well this year, what we did was try to add more parenting classes. We offered PK, which we had offered in the previous years. This in 2017 fall, we had 81 graduates. within the two Spanish classes in the morning and the two Spanish and one English class in the evening. Right now, we are doing Disciplina Positiva. Our graduation day is February 26th, and we are expecting to have 38 parents graduate. And the new class that we will be beginning is Family League. It will be done by Mr. Lopez and myself. Mr. Lopez is one of our counselors. We will be holding the English session first, which starts next Wednesday. And then in April, I will be conducting the Spanish session as well for our parents. And here are some of our upcoming events. Something that's really popular for us is Coffee with the Principal. We have it every 2 months. Right there you can see a picture with our principal, Mr. Nassouf, and some of our parents. And we have a lot of activities that we try to have parents involved in. We have our fundraiser coming up next Wednesday as well for Valentine's Day. It's a movie night where our parents will be volunteering there and taking care of their kids. And we have our school site council meetings, ELAC, and all other things like that where our parents can get involved. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so that concludes our performance up here, letting you know everything that's going on at Nogales High School. So thank you for letting us spotlight that for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good job. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Nogales High School, everyone. Good job. The next item is the superintendent report. Dr. Mitchell.
Great. Thank you very much. So this evening I want to share with the board and our community a few items. First is, as you know, last Saturday was our showcase event. My comments don't compete with the swag, do they? I know how that works. That's okay. And it was by Prime, Noble Prime, I think, delivered our goods here. So we want to thank our community for coming out to support all of our schools this past weekend at the showcase event, which was held at the Roland Heights Community Center. Our event this year was bigger than ever. We took over the entire center, including all three tennis courts. I really want to thank publicly the work of Gina Ward for leading this. She did an absolute fabulous job organizing this event. It was a team effort in terms of every department and school, and part of the district was a part of our showcase. Our transportation department was instrumental in transporting our community members and our students and our parents to the event as well. But again, it was all spearheaded and led by Gina. So thank you again, Gina. On Tuesday, we hosted our RUSD School Tour Day, and our schools and student services have been busy answering questions to people as they begin registering online. So the registration for the 18-19 school year is officially open, and we are accepting or enrollments currently. We also had some media coverage at Shellen to promote our registration for our new Mandarin Dual Immersion program that will be hosted at Shellen Elementary, and we are still looking to receive the 50 kindergartners to be able to launch that program. I wanted to make sure the community was aware of some upcoming district parent meetings. So to help parents answer questions about transitional kindergarten, and our Mandarin and Spanish dual language immersion programs, the district is hosting some parent information meetings this month. This information is all available on our website, but in short, the TK, or transitional kindergarten parent information meetings, are on February 13th at 5:30 at Northam Elementary, and on February 20th at 4:30 at Barra Academy, and the kindergarten and dual language immersion parent meetings will be February 15th at 6 p.m. at Roland Elementary and February 16th at 8:30 a.m. at Via Corta Elementary. I also want to spotlight some generous donors. More than 125 children have been selected across the district to receive socks and shoes in the 6th annual Heart and Soul event, which will be next Friday, February 16th, from 2:30 to 4. The Kiwanis Club of Hacienda Heights Shoes That Fit program benefits or works together with the Roland Heights Senior Pathfinders, along with the Family Resource Center, are all coming together to put smiles and shoes for children in need. I also like to thank some other generous donors for their support, and it's on this evening's board report under gifts and donations. For our Family Resource Center, from Teachers for Healthy Kids, donated $1,791.73. For Roland Elementary, from Water Education Water Awareness Committee, was $1,072. from the East Valley Health Clinics to support our principal for a day, as well as separate scholarships at the end of the year for our students, was $3,000. And also for principal for a day from KP Financial Services is $1,000. And principal for a day is coming up in March, where our students will receive scholarships. And we have community members that serve as a principal for the day to learn how the operations of a school are. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. The next item is the student board representative report. The first school is Roland High School. Matthew Cho, the SB treasurer from Roland High School.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, and members of the audience. My name is Matthew Cho, and I am a student representative for Roland High School. Since our lovely last meeting, Roland has been quite busy. On January 19th, we had our annual winter sports rally during lunch. Winter sports such as soccer, basketball, wrestling, and girls' water polo advertised their games on stage. This week is the final week of league play for our winter season. Our girls' basketball and girls' soccer are expected to win league this year, with both of them hopefully having a home CIF game starting next week. In addition, boys' basketball is expected to go to CIF as well. Last weekend, Cheyenne Bowman won first place at the girls' CIF Wrestling Regional Tournament and will be competing in the Southern Section Championships this upcoming Friday and Saturday. Our boys' wrestlers will be competing at league finals this Saturday at Northview High School. During the week of January 22nd to 26th, we hosted our annual dodgeball tournament. We had 8 teams compete with each other in the gym alongside a watching audience. And on the last day, the champions faced our teachers in a legendary match. Over 25 teachers participated, and the students were finally able to get back at their teachers for all the amount of homework they assigned. The gym was packed with both students and staff. On January 29th, seniors had their January senior event called Jamming January, where seniors received a free McChicken and iced tea from McDonald's. On January 31st, the radio station Power 106 came during lunch to advertise for the annual Power 106 basketball game on February 1st. A DJ with speakers played music throughout the entire lunch to advertise for the game. The following night, the Power 106 radio station brought out players to play our teachers in a friendly basketball match. We had a large amount of our teachers participate, which led to an exciting game. This past Monday, all seniors had a mandatory assembly to discuss information about grad night, graduation, and other senior activities. Furthermore, Dee Hankins, an inspirational speaker, came and motivated the seniors to finish off the school year with a bang. This week is National School Counselor Week. Throughout the week, our counselors will be given small gifts to show our appreciation. We have also started to distribute ASB applications for class officers, executive board, and members at large for the following year. These applications will be due February 20th at the mandatory meeting discussing the election week. Tomorrow we'll be having another senior event called Fondue February, where seniors can show up and get chocolate-covered marshmallows, strawberries, or Rice Krispies. In addition, the week of February 13th to 16th is another one of our annual Spirit Week's Random Acts of Kindness Week. During this week, both students and staff will receive little gifts to show and motivate kindness. On Friday, February 23rd, we will be having a Renaissance Assembly, which promotes academic excellence by recognizing students for outstanding achievements. Attendees will be able to watch an entertaining assembly with student actors and receive a free T-shirt. Right after the Renaissance Assembly, our Sadie's theme will be revealed during lunch. This week, we release signups for the Powder Buff, a competition between senior and junior boys in a volleyball match, where the girls' volleyball team are coaches for the boys. I highly recommend everyone from the board come and attend and watch the entertaining event it is. Our performing arts program has been busy preparing this year's spring musical, Footloose. Shows will be from March 1st to 3rd on 7 p.m. and March 8th to 10th at 7 p.m. In addition, there will be Saturday showings on March 3rd and March 10th. Our choir groups have been competing in festivals these past weekends where they received second place. They will continue to practice for multiple festivals in the near future. Furthermore, our color guard will be having their first competition on March 3rd. On March 5th, our Sadie's fashion show will be happening during lunch to display unique outfits one can wear to the dance. Campaigning for ASB positions will also begin during this week. Therefore, Roland High School is chugging along with event after event, and all students, teachers, and staff are all resembling the True Raiders' goals of becoming thinkers, communicators, and contributors. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. The next is Santana High School. Greg Garcia, ASB president. Is Greg here? I don't see Greg here. So let's move to the next school, Nogales High School. Virginia Garcia, ASB junior class president, report.
Prime deliverer.
Good evening, Mr. President,
Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, members of the cabinet, and members of the audience. My name is Virginia Garcia, and I am the class of 2019 class president, and I am here to represent Nogales High School. Our winter sports season is coming to an end, and we couldn't be more proud of our noble athletes. Our wrestling team had a great season with GJ Flores finishing strong and advancing to CIF. Our boys and girls soccer team both finished in first place, taking home the title of Mount View League champions. The girls and boys basketball team are finishing their league games this week and are both moving on to CIF playoffs. We would like to congratulate all our athletes for their hard work and dedication, and we are wishing them the best of luck in playoffs. On January 25th, we held our second annual elective fair during lunch on campus. This event was a great opportunity for students to learn about all the different elective courses offered at Nogales High School. Students got the opportunity to see up close what each elective offers in preparation for selecting their classes for next year. Some of the many electives represented during the fair included AVID, Student Leadership, MedCore, Forensic Science, Yearbook, and Orchestra. The National Honor Society held their inauguration on February 2nd at 6 p.m. The candle lighting ceremony is a time-honored tradition at Nogales High School. We would like to congratulate the 60 students who were inaugurated this year and encourage them to continue their path of academic excellence. On February 1st, the Bite of Reality program visited our campus. This one-of-a-kind interactive simulation provided students with a fun, safe environment to explore topics such as income, student loan and credit card debt, housing costs, and medical insurance payments. The event was a huge success and an effective way to spread the word to teens about reality of life after high school. This past week, on February 3rd, numerous programs attended the RUSC showcase to represent Nogales High School. Our athletic programs were present, as well as many of our ROP CTE courses, such as food and nutrition, business and accounting, forensic science, and photography. We had amazing dance performances by Emeralds and Flacotico, and a special combined jazz performances with Roland High School Band. It was an incredible event that provided information and entertainment to our future nobles. Our noble pride was also on display on our noble regiment. Our noble pride was also on display when our noble regiment had the honor of performing at Disneyland on January 26. This concludes all the events for the month of January. On behalf of the student body at Nogales High School, we thank you for your time and undivided attention.
Thank you, Virginia.
Student representatives, you are welcome to stay, but you're free to go too. Thank you for homework.
Thank you. Thank you again. The next item is staff report. Personnel Commission, Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you. This evening, I am pleased to share that Joan Stiegelmeier, our a director of a personnel commission, is here to present some information and to share the annual report of the personnel commission.
All right. So, good evening, Board of Education, Dr. Captain. Sorry about that. I got it all messed up. Good afternoon. And evening, Board of Education, Dr. Mitchell, Cabinet, and audience members. I am here to present to the Board about the Personnel Commission and our annual report. So we'll start off with our staff. My staff consists of myself and a personal analyst, one senior personnel technician. I have three personnel technicians, two are full-time, and one is part-time. I have three personnel commissioners that are my bosses. And one is Judy Nye. She is the board appointee, and she was reappointed in December 2017. The middle commissioner there is Sharon Fernandez. She's our current chair, and she's the CSCA appointee, and she was appointed in December 2016. And Sabrina Lee is on the far right. She's the joint appointee, and she is in the audience. And I just found out it's her birthday today, and she's here with us. So happy birthday, Sabrina. And she was reappointed in 2015. Judy and Sharon could not be with us tonight and wish they could. They send their regards. So what is the Personnel Commission? We are Merit. It's an independent body composed of three persons appointed for three staggered terms, which all begin on December 1st. So each year, one could possibly rotate off. But at any time, I always have three commissioners. They are responsible for maintaining a merit system for the classified employees of our school district. You might ask, where did the Personnel Commission come from? Well, back in 1933, there were four candidates up for election for the LA Unified School District, and they were known as the Four Horsemen. The Four Horsemen said, "We wish to assure you that we are elected to the membership of the Board of Education. We intend to give you fair and just treatment, and we expect to make only such changes as we find necessary in order to secure honest and efficient service. We do not believe in the spoil system, and we're opposed to all forms of political coercion in the schools, and we have not promised or any promotions to anyone." Well, this was not the truth. After the Four Horsemen had promised jobs to many people in exchange for their political support, and immediately upon their installation into office, there were dismissals amongst non-certificated employees, chiefly among the custodians. And estimates on the number dismissed vary anywhere from 500 to 1,800. So the principles of merit is basically employment and promotion on the basis of merit and fitness as shown by competitive exam, encouragement of career service. That's why we have job families, and we lump all the different classifications into job families so employees can move their way up. We ensure like pay for like work, and we prohibit discrimination in employment, and we are the impartial hearing on disciplinary appeals. What are our functions? It is for classified employees only. We're in charge of recruitment, and we recruit on governmentjobs.com, EdJoin, LinkedIn, Join Handshake, and other sources as needed. Oops, let me go back. Our testing, which includes anything from a written test to a structured interview to a performance test or structured interview. It could be any, all, or some. Each test that we do for each classification is different. It's not the same for a plumber or an electrician or an office assistant or a computer technician. We have to design each exam per each classification we're recruiting for. We're also responsible for the assignments, which means that we send the top three ranks to the hiring authority, and after they make their selection, we collect all the materials back with their making sure that they're selecting the top three. We send the paperwork to HR, which they sign off on everything, and then I formally make the job offer. And then we actually onboard the employee as well. We do the fingerprinting process and all the paperwork they need to become an employee, and we welcome them to Roland Unified. We're in charge of the classification of all positions, which means that anything that changes in a job description or if duties change or there's a new classification needed, we are the ones to build the new classification or we're the ones to update the classification. And also we're an impartial appeal body, which means that if a classified employee is terminated and they want to appeal their termination, they can appeal to the Personnel Commission, and then we would have to set up an appeal hearing. So how do we support the board's vision, which you all know your vision, which is Roland Unified School District promotes, expects, and accepts nothing short of excellence, and we have a collective commitment to be the best district in California. And your vision is our vision, because our mission of the commission is to provide district with the best qualified candidates for employment reflective of the cultural diversity of the community and to serve the present and future needs of the district and its educational programs. So, of course, as any department, we have our challenges. And our challenges are constant vacancies for the 3-hour-per-day positions. What we're doing for this is we're working with special ed to increase some of their 3-hour positions to 5.5 hours, making them a bit more lucrative. And because we keep losing our 3-hour people to our neighboring districts, 5-hour or 6-hour with benefited positions. So it's very hard to combat that. So we're trying to increase them to more hours. We're attending job fairs at both Mount SAC and Cal Poly to recruit for college students for part-time positions and who want to be teachers. What a better way to learn than with our students in special ed. And we also found a new recruiting tool called Join Handshake, which is made up of a lot of college campuses, and you have to apply each job that you want to add there to them, and it's called Handshake, and they say, yes, you can join, and we want to advertise your job, and then it's passed out to many different school districts. So we found an increase of our IA2 instructional assistant 1 and 2 candidates actually getting them into the recruitment this way. Timeline of recruitments. It does take a bit of time to run a recruitment, and we acknowledge that. We are trying to reduce the timeline of the recruitments. There is an ed code that requires us to post for 15 working days, and then we do have some appeal periods in between each one as far as appealing after each exam part, after they take a written test, and a candidate can appeal some reason for the test, and after the interview, we have to make sure all of our testing standards are solid so that nobody complains about that, because if they appeal, it could hold up the whole exam process. I'm working with staff to target written test dates and interview dates to post on our bulletins, so it lessens the time frame so that applicants know when those test times are going to be done. Recruitment and selection of the best qualified candidates. Yeah, we want the best at the top of the list. And what we do for this is I told you what we use for recruiting is EdJoin and GovernmentJobs.com to attract applicants. It's not the only method that we use. It all depends. If we're looking for an IT person, we work with our director of IT to find out where should we recruit for this, what are the best methods. If we have a director of food service position high level, we work with the director of nutrition to find the best place to recruit. And onward. We conduct job analysis with our subject matter experts to target the core competencies needed to make sure that our applicants are successful in the position. And by using these solid testing mechanisms, using written tests and computer tests and structured interviews, we make sure the best applicants are at the top. We also brief our raters thoroughly, doing a thorough briefing and debriefing process to make sure the raters understand the scales and the standards that we need in order to make sure that the best applicants get at the top of the list. So our highlights from the annual report are recruitments conducted was 59 in the fiscal year 2016 and 17. We took in 4,313 applications. We only do this through NeoGov, which is electronic, so that does make it a bit easier to screen and send out notices. We had 387 applicants on the eligibility list. We did hire 113. We did 1 reclassification for an employee, meaning she was working out of class for a period of over 2 years, and it was a gradual accretion of duties, so she grew into the next position, basically. Class descriptions revised were 14. We created 3 new class descriptions, and we had 6 reallocations. So our successes for last year, to summarize, is just, again, we onboarded 113 employees. We attended 2 job fairs at Mount SAC. We attended, of course, our RUSD showcase event. And we, once a year, we try to do a climb the career ladder at Roland USD for our own classified employees to teach them about how to fill out an application, interviewing skills, and resume building skills as well, and just teaching them how it is to go through a recruitment and how we do want them to promote here at Roland Unified. And the annual classified employee lunch, Howdy Partner Celebration, where 400 employees attended and enjoyed a barbecue lunch. And I want to thank you all for attending. Most everybody here helped. It was a definite teamwork collaboration between the PC staff, personnel commissioners, Board of Education, superintendent, cabinet, and the management team. So that ends the report. If you have any questions or comments.
How do you screen the applicants?
How do we? By the minimum qualifications. So every class description has minimum qualifications, and we screen them. We do not automatically screen them. We use our own eyes to view every single application to screen them. So according to the, if you need 1 year of clerical experience, we make sure that you list it and that you have it. If you need a high school diploma, you have to attach the diploma or higher education.
More questions?
I've got several.
Okay.
Thank you for coming tonight and giving us a report. These qualifications that you were just asked about, do you have those listed in a notebook? If you're needing some particular hire, do you go to the supervisor of that direct department to say, are there any extra skills that we should look for in this person? Is that part of the process?
Yes. So when we open up, when we have a new recruitment that comes up, we make sure to meet up with the person who, the SME, the subject matter expert, or the hiring authority to say, is this job description still relevant? Are we able to go with this? Are these minimum qualifications current? And if they're not, or things have changed, or we need to add a professional certificate, or especially food services has all these extra trainings that are required now, we've been adding those slowly but surely on to those. So we will not open a recruitment if a certain training or certificate is needed. And we'll update that class description before we open it.
And they just have to meet the minimum qualifications?
Yeah.
Are there any that you have a little higher because you've got a lot of applicants? Or?
Yeah. So that's why they're called minimum qualifications, casting a broad net to let applicants in. And that's when we have to decide the type of testing mechanism we're going to do. That's why when there's a large applicant pool, we do a written test. And our written tests are based on certain competencies needed, such as if it's for custodian, we make sure to test on safety, which is there's a lot of safety involved with being a custodian. There's a lot of things that I can't talk about that is going to be on the test. But so we test the safety. We test reading ability because there's labels and some attention to detail that's needed for different. So whatever needs to be assessed, we use different tools. We subscribe to CODIS, which is a service that many school districts and cities use, and basically they lump together the competencies that we're asking. They may send us 200 questions, and then we pick out of those questions which ones to use for the written test.
The reason why minimum qualifications bothers me is we want to always get the best, as you showed on one of your slides. But if you list minimum qualifications, and let's say you get two applicants that meet those criteria, they're on the list, right?
So we don't stop if we only get when we only have two people that apply for a position. We would keep the position open longer and keep recruiting until we get many more than two.
Okay.
I mean, we have to have at least, I mean, it all depends. There's some scarce, like right now we have piano accompanists open. Okay, it's a whopping 1 hour a week right now we're looking for, okay? So we're really scrambling to get some piano players out there to apply. So we will keep that type of – that's a hard one. So with that one, we might have hopefully five that we can get to apply. But out of those five, we're going to make sure they can play the piano like no other. And if they can't play very well, if we fail – I mean, if our – that's where it comes into the raters, making sure that we had qualified raters. And if they are rating these people who cannot play the piano, they will fail them. And if we only end up with, let's just say, two on the list, we will go out and reopen the recruitment again because we want to have at least three on the list for you. So I'm just saying there's some challenges for recruitment, such as that particular one that's open at the moment.
The reason why I keep asking about this is because let's say all your applicants meet the minimum, bare minimum, and you have to make a decision whether those are really going to be good enough employees. But you have three. That means they still get passed up?
No. I mean, okay. So just because you meet the minimum doesn't mean that you have all the core competencies needed to perform well in that position. So let's just say you have minimally qualified people that we make sure by putting them through the written test or the computer test or the interview, if they're not good enough and if we always make sure when we brief the raters, we say if this person is not somebody that would perform well alongside you or your colleague or somebody in this position, please fail them. So it's not, I mean, it's not just minimum. We expect them to perform very well in the position so that they are the best qualified.
Okay.
So I hope that answers your question.
No, I'm really... That's fine.
Right. I mean, typically we don't see just... When we look at applications, typically we do see some people like, wow, they're really applying here. We're getting people who are actually applying for office assistant that have master's degrees, that have bachelor's degrees. I mean, we're getting highly qualified people that are actually looking at public sector jobs. Some shock me that they're applying for just an office assistant, not just, I didn't mean to say it like that, an office assistant level instead of a higher level secretarial position or, you know, like legal secretary position.
They're actually overqualified to get their foot in the door.
Very overqualified.
And you got to worry that they'll stay because something might come along.
And that's a lot of times what hiring authorities have said to us. This person is so highly qualified, they're not going to stay. Yeah. But sometimes you can't peek into their lives and you don't know if all of a sudden they decided that they want to stay home with their kids, they want to work close to home, they only want a part-time position. So we can't crawl into their heads and say, why do you want to work here? You're so overqualified.
And then the last thing I want to say is, obviously, I don't know much about the commission and how it works. If the board wanted to, would you be willing to do a workshop for us in the future?
Oh, yes, that would be wonderful.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You received over 4,000 applicants last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a lot.
Yes.
It's a very heavy workload. How did you share the work? And so does that mean you need to review over 4,000 resumes?
No. Okay. That's a very good question. So what we've done, because we've started getting such high volume to certain recruitments, such as office assistant, we ran that recruitment recently in November, and we got over 300 applications. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to spend all that time looking at every single application. We actually invite one and all to the written test. And we also tell them in that written test invitation, we have not screened the applications, but here's the minimum qualifications. Make sure you meet this. You should know as the applicant if you meet the minimum qualifications. Please come. Please schedule yourself for the written test and then come. It's really amazing statistically. We always have half that do not show. We feel like some people are just applying for the job because maybe they're on unemployment and EDD requires them to apply to so many jobs or whatnot, but we always get half no-shows. And we anticipate that because we book for 70, but we know we can only fit 35 in the testing area. So we anticipate that. So then what we do is, let's say out of those 300, 150 show up, we score those tests, and then we determine a pass point based on a natural divider, a natural break in the test, in the test scores, and then we invite those people forward to the next test part, which is a interview or computer test. So in that point, we would not look at every single application. It saves time because there's no need to screen people who aren't even going to show up for the test.
Mm-hmm. So about half of them show the test, or you still have about 2,000?
Well, it's just a guesstimate. I mean, we may look at 2,000 applications. That could be true for the whole year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good question.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Yes. You mentioned subject matter expert. Can you expand on that a little bit, exactly what that is?
So a subject matter expert, for instance, when we're looking at piano accompanists, we're trying to meet with the choir directors or the music teachers, and we're looking at what they're looking for a piano accompanist. And we meet with them because they're the people who work with the individuals we're going to end up hiring, and that's going to be their future employees. And we meet, I think that's the question is, what is a subject matter expert?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Say you have your list, and you give that list to the hiring authority, and you give them three people that are in the top one or two ranks, and the hiring person says, I don't like any of those three. Is there any way they can reach deeper down into the ranks and bypass those top three?
Not legally.
Okay. And last question is, do all districts have a personnel commission?
No. There's about 100 in the state of California that have personnel commissions. The neighboring school districts that have commissions are Bassett Unified and Hacienda La Puente and Montebello. Pomona does not have one. The other one is Covina Valley and Charter Oak. That's close to us.
Thank you.
Lynn, question?
No, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sabrina,
have a good evening.
For being here. Okay. So next item is written requests addressed to the board. Dr. Mitchell, is there any?
There's one. Yes.
There's one. Okay. So need to read this. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended further or limited by vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to the presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to the staff following the presentation. So tonight is Roy Humphrey, Mr. Humphrey.
I'm Roy Humphreys, and just when we thought we had heard it all at the January board meeting, Ms. Pride threw out a load of red herring. That beats Mrs. Ebenkamp's shameful, and I quote, "We allow you all to attend board meetings," edict. I was going to bring a load of red herring for you all, but the smell was a little bit overwhelming. In case you don't know, red herring is defined as something that misleads, distracts from relevant or important issues. It may be either a logical fallacy or a literary device that leads readers and audience towards a false conclusion. Yes, Ms. Prize referred to me, a la red herring, as a racist, really. Is that all you've got? This is an example of people with no relevant argument throwing a storm of red herring. As Henri Ami notes, truth is violated by falsehood, but outraged by silence. Yes, I have been violated by falsehood, and my outrage at the continued denial of the people's right to truth and complete transparency will not be silenced by such behaviors as yours, which in fact colors the entire board and district with one broad brush. Yes, transparency will not be dismissed as a buzzword. Until this board administration comes to the court of the district constituents with clean hands, this district will never be able to claim the title of 21st century institution. Until one Chu of the PEA, Robert Leal, Harold and Wendy Toy, and others who signed the petition for video recording of the district meetings can walk and will walk into the halls of this hall of shame, this district will continue to be a Pandora's box filled with subterfuge and deceit, with truth lying at the very bottom. As to the hateful red herring, really, I have not got the energy for hate. Disgust, outrage, that's my maximum limit. Switching to another subject here, the Bond Oversight Committee, which you can see on my YouTube channel of last meeting, shows that it's nothing but a farce. And as I suggested to Assemblyman Philip Chun, should be replaced by an inspector general with subpoena powers. And for your information, two of my nephews, Robert and Dave, graduated from Nogales. One's a lawyer. The other one's a senior engineer at Boeing. Okay. John Grant is still waiting for his letter of appreciation for applying for the Bond Oversight Committee. And to Ms. Pride and the board, if you don't like what I have to say, I have my standing offer to this district. Simply take over the video recording of the public meetings of this district. You will never see or hear of me again.
Good. Next item is public hearing. The purpose of the public hearing is to provide members of the public the opportunity to be aware of and to comment on initial proposal for negotiations. The first item, the first public hearing, is for the initial proposal for negotiations between Roland Unified School District and the Association of Roland Educators for 2018 and 2019 school year.
The public hearing is open at 7:05 p.m. Anyone has comment? None. So the public hearing is closed 7:06. The next public hearing is for initial proposal for the negotiations between the Association of Roland Educators and the Roland Unified School District for 2018 and 2019 school year. The public hearing is open at 7:06. Any comments? The public hearing closed at 7:06. The next public hearing is for the initial proposal for negotiations between the California School Employees Association, Chapter 133, and the Roland Unified School District for the school year 2018-2019. The public hearing is open at 7:06. Any comments? The public hearing closed at 7:06. We'll move to the discussion action items on the agenda.
We have one more.
Oh, one more, I'm sorry. The last public hearing is for the initial proposal for negotiations from the Roland Unified School District to the California School Employees Association, Chapter 133, for the 2018 and 2019 school year. The public hearing opened at 7:06. Any comments? Comments? So the public hearing closed at 7:07. Okay, next item. So we'll move to the next item, discussion action item on the agenda. The first item, 7.8. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the revised board policy 5143, disciplines? Are there any questions or discussions? Any motions?
I so move.
Lynn moves, and Donald Freeman seconds. Any discussions? Any questions, discussions, comments?
I have one.
Mr. Malkin?
It's the third page on the policy. Under the very first paragraph, that starts with "at all times." Two suggestions. One is the very last sentence, if we can add at the very end, when appropriate, disciplinary action shall be progressive with the least restrictive strategies being used first, or using what was in Ed Code or AB 1729, the other means of correction are applied. Other means of correction are applied prior to a discipline measure that excludes a student from school, which would be the same thing that you're using least restrictive.
At the policy, I believe that your interest might be met on page 2, and I'm trying to find is it, just for clarification so that I don't search the whole, is it to have it in there in that this particular location within the policy, or to make sure that it's included within the policy? Because we've done, go ahead.
It's in that particular location where, let me see, because I think I had it another place originally. Well, if it's in the policy, but my main thing is to have an emphasis on
yes,
using progressive discipline.
Mm-hmm. So in the first paragraph on the first page, it does mention, and this might not meet your needs, it might not be what you're searching for, but it does say that the board believes that high expectations for student behavior, the use of effective school and classroom management strategies, provisions of appropriate intervention and support, and parent involvement can minimize the need for disciplinary measures that exclude students from instruction as a means for correcting student misbehavior. Is that not yet what you need?
It's part of it.
Okay.
But I would like to be more specific.
Okay. So can you repeat again what your interest is on page 3 in that at all times?
It could be either one of these. It could be when appropriate, disciplinary action shall be progressive with the least restrictive strategies being used first, or I guess this is language from AB 1729, that other means of correction are applied prior to disciplinary measures that excludes a student from school. Second one comes from AB 1729.
Right. Well, and I there would be some reluctance to use that language in this location because being placed as it's stated there in that particular policy, other means of correction, it is an expectation and an edict from the board that we would not be able to suspend a student until we'd implied other means of correction. And there are, on a general circumstance, we're in complete agreement, but there are circumstances where there is a one-off where a student engages in egregious behavior,
right,
and it does require an immediate suspension or removal from the instructional program, which is always our last choice. But if this language was put in there, it would prohibit us from doing so.
Okay, but if I use when appropriate?
That would be better.
Okay, so.
This is also an item that is already gone through first reading for us to be able to comment on. And I don't believe that all the board members have copies of it. We can pull it up so that you can look at it. But it also might be that if we're going to look at substantive changes this evening, it may be something that the board, I don't know if you got, we can approve it based on our verbal conversation or delay. We have a concern in delaying the approval of this policy because our discipline plans are required and are due, and this policy must be updated for that purpose.
Okay.
So can you please say one more time your when appropriate phrase?
When appropriate, disciplinary actions shall be progressive with the least restrictive strategies being used first.
Other comments from the board?
Lynn?
It is implied. The other thing that I think it's important for the board to recognize is that our policy is the what, and our administrative regulations are the how. So how we implement this policy, using exactly what Mr. Malkin is talking about regarding the use of to correct student behavior, the least restrictive, and to try not to remove students from a school program, would be the how, which could be also in administrative regulations. But this is completely the purview of the board, whatever your pleasure.
So we have a directive that goes along with this policy?
With every board policy, there's an administrative regulation. So the board determines the policy, which is the what, and staff determines the administrative regulations, which is how we implement the what.
Well, if we can get it in there, that'd be okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we don't revise it, so.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I guess I don't need to say anything.
Okay.
Is there any other?
I'll take a look at that later. But if
so, the administrative regulations are not approved by the board; they're done through cabinet.
Okay.
Because it's the staff work to implement the desire and the policy of the board.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that'd be okay.
So, any more comments?
I call for a vote.
Yeah. So, all in favor.
Okay. So, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, next item, 7B. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the Board of Education meeting schedule on 2018-2019?
I make a motion.
Angelina?
I'll second.
Donna, second. Any questions? Schedule? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Item 7C, and then the motion and the second to approve the revised instructional calendar for 2018 and 2019 and 2019-2020 school years. Need a motion?
Second.
Angelina, second. Discussion? Any comments, questions? All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, next item is 7D, I need a motion and a second to adopt the initial proposal for collective bargaining between Rural Unified School District and the Association of Rural Educators.
I move.
They move.
I'll second.
Donna second. Discussion? All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. 7E, I need a motion and a second to receive the initial proposal for collective bargaining from Association of Rural Educators, ARIE, to the Rural Unified School District.
Motion.
I'll move.
Donna move.
Second.
Angelina second. Any questions, discussion, comments? In favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Item number 7F, I need a motion and a second to adopt the initial proposal from Rural Unified School District to the California School Employees Association, CSEA, Chapter 133 for collective bargaining.
Need a motion?
I'll move.
Donna move.
Second.
And Janina second. Discussion? Questions? Those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Item number 7G, can I have a motion and a second to receive the initial proposal for collective bargaining from California School Employees Association to Rowland Unified School District?
I'll move.
Donna move. Need a second?
I'll second.
Lynn second. Any questions? Discussions? Those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Number 7H, need a motion and a second to adopt the resolution SO-17-18-10 proclaiming March 2018 as a national music in our school month.
I'll move.
Donna move.
I'll second.
Lean seconds. Any questions, discussion?
I just want to say that since we brought music back to Rowland Unified, I've heard so many, you know, people in the community, you know, thanking us for doing that. So this is very appropriate to do that in March.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions? Eight. Okay. Favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Item number 7I. And in motion and a second, adopt the resolution SO-17-18-11 proclaiming March 2nd, 2018. Read Across America Day.
I move.
Lean move.
Second.
Angelina second. Discussion, questions? People say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. 7J. This to receive the first reading and review of revised board policy 5030, student wellness. There's no motion on this item.
Are there any comments?
Any comments, any questions? No. So the move. The next item.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Were we going to get a presentation on this? Or?
There is no presentation. That was in a draft for our board meeting, and that item was pulled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is a first reading of this board policy, and in our next month, it will be presented to the board for adoption. So there are there any suggestions for edits to this policy at this time?
I just want to reiterate my question about now that it's flu season.
Yes.
If we could have immunizations for our staff and students on a few campuses, it might cut down on the spread mm-hmm. because it takes extra to go to the doctor, get the shot, and come back. I know it sounds lazy, but yeah. It's worth thinking about because this year is a bad flu year. We have a lot of kids out.
And we do. We have done flu shots for our employees. They were done here, and they were done free of charge for our employees. And we do flu shots for our students and our community at the East Valley Clinic. So they are done in two different locations for both our staff and our students.
When were the staff ones done?
Do you recall? No, I was looking at Gina behind you. Do you? I want to say it was November.
Okay. Just
right after open enrollment.
I don't remember.
That's a good month.
Yeah. Yeah. They.
I'm sorry, I was not aware.
Yes, that's okay. Thank you for clarifying.
And it's not listed in there, so I thought.
Right. This policy is around nutrition services, so this is not a medical wellness policy as a whole. This is a wellness policy that is led through nutrition services. So it encompasses student wellness, but not from a medical perspective.
Okay. I would add that I've recently gone to the Nutrition Services website, which is part of our district website, and it's got a tremendous amount of information there for families and parents on nutritional services or education. And so there's a lot of wellness on the website for nutritional services. Would our universal breakfast program be part of this at all?
So as it relates to nutrition services, it could be something. It could be in terms of the just meals and wellness for students. It could be incorporated. It would not be an item we would incorporate in a board policy. But yes, students receiving proper nutrition.
Right.
Is part of it. And again, and Lynn, I made a comment, this is an all-encompassing student wellness policy, but it is the process has been led by our Nutrition Services Department. So I don't know, and Maria Davila is here, has our Family Resource Center and our nurses looked through our policy? Do you know, as they see, because of the question regarding the health services component?
Yes, so our
part of the full committee.
Yeah, it's a full committee, so we have health services, people from the clinics in our district, and some community members, Dairy Council and WIC, and then the dietitians from the district.
Okay. So I stand corrected from the comment I gave you.
Yeah, it reads, I know
yes,
a lot of
my
the
mistake.
Bulk of it is nutrition,
yeah.
But there is mention of health promotion.
And health services,
and unless you want to clarify that it's only regards to nutrition.
No, that's not our interest, so I just wanted to make sure I corrected myself.
Another question is, we recently had a presentation, I think about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, on organizations on campus and what they can serve a half an hour before school and a half an hour after school.
Snacks.
Would that be part of this also?
That is part of it. That's part of, in terms there are different, and you can respond to because I don't know the different laws that govern it all. That was done at an RCPTA meeting where they shared the details of what can be served at what hours for students and what can be sold on campus. Yeah.
So, yes, it does include smart snacks in schools, and then the purpose for the revision is to include items as part of a final rule for the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010. So the changes include things like marketing to students and marketing only compliant food items on campuses and how we conduct assessments of how our district wellness policy is working.
When the jar is open... I realize now with the construction, but when it's open, are they required to follow the same requirements that our clubs and our schools are required to follow?
Yes. If it's during the school day, up to from midnight through half an hour after the end of the
right.
school day, anyone selling or handing out food to students must follow the Smart Snacks and Schools guidelines.
So I had somebody come up and they were concerned that the jar was not required to follow the same requirements, and they thought it wasn't appropriate. So
they are required. Yeah. Sometimes we have a deviation, and we need to work through that. But, yeah, they are expected to follow the same guidelines. And some of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, some of it is also determined, are they feeding adults or are they feeding children, students in the school? And the jar does do both. And so the feeding adults does not fall under the same rules and regulations as feeding students, correct?
That's correct.
Maybe that could be the confusion.
Yeah.
So someplace it says the superintendent may appoint a committee or designee. Do we need to clarify that, what we're going to do, either have a committee or not have a committee at each school?
So it's at the end, I believe what you're referring to is on the first page, the last paragraph, perhaps. To fulfill this
yes.
requirement, the superintendent or designee may appoint a school wellness committee whose membership shall include representatives of these groups, which were listed above. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
And so we do have a wellness committee, as Maria has shared, in terms of who's on that. But it, and you do you want to elaborate in terms of the compliance with the
maybe
rule?
Change it from may to shall.
Okay, so the committee was at one time part of the Family Resource Center Caring Collaborative, and so that group is composed of nurses and people from you know, just the community, the Dairy Council and WIC. So that the wellness policy that was originally approved in 2007 was created from that committee. For these changes, we created a subcommittee and invited members from that committee who were interested in you know, making changes to this wellness policy. And so it includes members, and then the subcommittee developed those changes.
So the reason is it's may instead of shall is because there are other ways for us to accomplish the goal. And this is the first time we've comprised a committee. That is what we're just what Maria just explained now is it had been done before with the Caring Collaborative previously.
Okay.
So this item will be back for vote for second reading and approval at our next meeting.
Okay. So move to the next item. Next item 7K. This is to receive the first reading of review and a review of the revised board policy 5143.1, suspension and expulsion due process. This is not a motion item. So any comments, questions?
Suggested revisions to this policy as presented? All right.
Okay, then I move to the next item, the consent calendar. Next item is the consent calendar. We will approve all of the items in consent. Unless there were any items, poll, or separate discussion and action. Kind of motion and a second?
Second.
And Angie, did you?
Yes, second.
And a second. Okay. Those all favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, so next about conference session. We're now in the conference session on the board members' comments. This week, this David Milken, it's your turn.
Oh, I start first?
Start.
Oh, it's early too. I got longer time.
Okay. We're back tomorrow.
I first have to second what Dr. Mitchell said about the RUSD showcase. It was fabulous. And Gina, I know there's a cast of thousands that put that on, but you're running around organizing and make sure things get done when they're supposed to get done. And you're the catalyst that make it happen. And it really was an excellent program. And Jim and transportation, I tell you, not only is he there to bring people and to take people back to their cars, but I don't know if everybody saw the new bus that he has now. He no longer has his cardboard bus. He actually has a real bus that he cut off at the junkyard. So, I mean, this guy has just been so creative in that department and has made so many changes. It's just wonderful. But Alex in Administrative Services, just everybody, all the teachers, and most importantly, the students that gave up their Saturday to come out and perform. The talent that was there was just unbelievable. Some of the dance routines, the choreography of some of those dance routines was just unbelievable. And nutritional services, loved the chicken pot pie, the pancakes, everything. Tried all the new food out there, including met the lead chef, who's from Cordon Bleu, School of Cordon Bleu, graduate. He's our lead chef now over there. And great individual, you know, really had a good time talking to him. So hats off for the RUSD showcase. The other thing is I want to brag a little bit about Kiwanis. We have a teacher in Roland Elementary, Tammy, I guess it's B-I, B or by, B I think it is. But Tammy is a longtime Kiwanian, has been teaching for several years at Roland Elementary, and she decided to open a Kiwanis Club there. It's the first one in this district at an elementary school. It's called K-Kids.
At
And she had 25 kids that showed up at the first meeting. Shay is the mentor from our club for her. And at the meeting, she broke them up into small groups, and they had discussions. And this is just one of the diagrams that they drew. The kids actually came up and drew a diagram as to what they can do. And they had things on here such as pet adoption, graffiti removal, adopt a highway, helping homeless people, donating toys at Christmas time, and just great, you know, social activities that support people that are in need. And I think it was such a great, you know, idea, and that she came up with this club, started it, and now is doing, they're going to be in the process of selecting one of these service projects to work on. Then she went a step further, and now she started what's called the BUG program, and that's Bring Up Your Grades. And what that does is that it helps students at the lower end. It doesn't reward the kids that are getting A's and A pluses, but the kids that are failing, she will now meet with them with a group twice a week, Tuesdays and Wednesdays after school, and they'll develop a goal that they're going to do better in math, they're going to do better in whatever subject, and they will then have a plan on how they're going to do that. And as they progress towards that goal, they will get rewarded through the BUG program. They'll get stickers, certificates, and our Kiwanis Club last night just voted to purchase all those materials for Roland Elementary, so they'll be able to get those for free. And it's just a great program. Again, it's something that where a teacher is doing this on her time and just being creative. And we have so many staff in this district that do things like that, that is just fabulous. And I know Dr. Mitchell mentioned it. She didn't see me holding this up while she was talking. But next Friday, it's our annual Heart and Soul program. We've identified 130 students. We're in the process of identifying 130 students that are McKinney-Vento students, so they're pre-selected based on need. And they'll be coming in between 2 and 5 to get new shoes. Some of our service clubs are doing sock drives, and they'll be donating socks, so the kids will get new socks to try their new shoes on. And they'll also be getting a book to choose to take home with them. And I just got done purchasing a bunch of Girl Scout cookies. So they'll be getting some Girl Scout cookies for a snack. I guess we can do that if it's a half an hour after they get out of school. But if anybody wants to stop by, feel free to stop by and help us help the children try the shoes on. It's a great program. It's a lot of fun to do. And I was impressed. The student speaker from Nogales High School did a installation of 60 honor students to the National Honor Society. That's fabulous, 60 students. So hats off to Nogales High and their Honor Society for getting 60 students inducted into the society. And that's it.
Donna?
Good evening. First, Nogales High School did a great presentation. Thank you. And that young man that talked without looking at notes or anything, he was amazing. Oh, my gosh. He's just like I really enjoyed just from his heart. I mean, you could tell how much he loved Nogales High School. Also, Joan, thank you for the Personnel Commission report. Very interesting and learned a lot. In the last month, I have been to the library reopening, and there was almost 300 people there celebrating. The remodel turned out great. I remember taking my children there, and it looked so different. It's beautiful, and there were centers for kids to do different things, scientific experiments, create things. It was great. I have visited a couple more schools, and a few things that I observed. I could talk about a million, but I won't. Projects in fifth grade classrooms. Students were creating things through technology, art, paint. It was their choice. Teachers working one-to-one on students when the other students were in groups. And I saw an SDC classroom that all the students were working quietly, and they had Olympic facts to work on and using their computer. And the principal asked the student to explain what he was doing, and he said, oh, well, I learned one fact, that the gold medals are not gold. And he said, really? He said, yes, they weren't gold since 1912 was the last time. And he asked, why do you think that's the case? And he said, oh, probably too expensive. And it just didn't seem like an SDC classroom, very organized, and the kids were all on task, and it was really outstanding to see. Once again, I must say these teachers work so very hard. By the lessons I have observed, all students are learning. So many wonderful things are happening in our classrooms throughout the district. It makes me feel very proud to be a part of it. And then lastly, February is a month to celebrate many things. I would like to mention a little about two of them. Black History Month. The celebration of Black History Month began as Negro History Week, which was created in 1926 by Carter G. Woodson. He was a noted African-American historian, scholar, educator, and publisher. It became a month-long celebration in 1976. I was in high school then. The month of February was chosen to coincide with the birthdays of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln, and I didn't know that. Abraham Lincoln, my favorite president, led the United States through the Civil War, its bloodiest war and perhaps the greatest, most constitutional and political crisis in doing so. He preserved the Union, paved the way for the abolition of slavery, strengthened the federal government, and modernized the economy. So I want to wish everyone happy Valentine's Day and President's Day to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Lynn?
Okay. Not to beat a dead horse, but this showcase was fabulous. I think it gets better every year. And it's nice to see such teamwork, all these principals bringing their teams together with kids, working to make their group and their display the best. I heard more comments, boy, look at that one. Next year we're going to have to do better because we want to be as good as that one. So it's nice. It's a nice, healthy competition. So, Gina, thank you. Also, thanks to all the schools, the staff, and we're truly united now in many ways at Roland. My place. The other thing I want to give a shout out to Brandy, who really goes above and beyond for the board and for Dr. Mitchell. Thank you, Brandy, for all you do and your efforts. The library reopening was wonderful yesterday. If you get a chance to go see the library, please do so. Lauren Yocomizo said the other staff from the county that goes around to all these grand openings said ours was the very best. We had more people. It was nice to include the kids. We had kids, you know, reading poetry about libraries. And it was just a really nice event. The community really came out to support us. I want to remind you all to keep your eyes and ears open because our community is going to be facing marijuana for sale, perhaps. I know the Community Coordinating Council is trying to fight it so we can keep it out of Roland Heights, but please pay attention. Their meetings are always the third Monday of the month, and maybe you can get involved if you can. In going around to the schools, the Ed Services Department is doing a wonderful job, and the coach is working with our teachers. I see more and more schools now taking kids from groups who really need extra help. And it might be 20 kids in one classroom getting extra special help in the areas that they need it to bring them along. And I think this is really going to pay off. I'm anxious to see in the next couple years what happens. And it's truly every child learns in Roland Unified, and we're working to make sure that every kid can be the best that they can. Actually, Dr. Mitchell, another study session sometime might be to, again, demonstrate some of the programs like these groups that they're concentrating kids to work with them in certain classrooms. There's several schools are doing it, and I don't know. I know. But it would be nice to if we could do a little video or something and just show it off at one of our board meetings, I think it'd be great. And what's nice is to see how technology is being used. One example is today, Ms. Friedman and I were visiting one of the schools, Northam, and the teacher put the kids into various groups, and they were either having reading, they were having silent reading or something, and they were well behaved. But she took one child at a time, and the child read to her and worked on their writing skills and that type of thing. But when they read, she tape recorded it on her phone. She played it back to them so they could hear. And there's also an app to send this home to their parents so they can hear what's going on in the classroom. So I think that was great. So truly our district has something for every child, and I thank everybody that's involved in foreseeing the good things that we do.
Angie?
I just want to again say also that the showcase was fabulous, and not just thank the staff and the teachers and administrators and all the district employees, but also the parents. It takes a lot for parents to give up time to come out there on a Saturday too, especially when they work all week and they're tired and they just want to sit at home or take care of the house and do laundry and all that stuff, but they still made the time to come out. So thank you to all of the parents as well. Karen, please thank the staff and students that were here today for the presentation. That was awesome. They did a fantastic job. So tell them that we thanks, and thanks for the goodies as well. And then I just want to highlight one event that I attended. Brandy, I'll give you the other ones, but I just want to highlight one, which was the RUSD special ed basketball game that took place at Roland High School, and it had a Roland team and a Nogales team, and I have to say that that was the best thing I have ever watched in my life, and it was really hard to sit there and not cry while you were watching it because these kids were fantastic. And you could tell which kids watched basketball at home because they tried to imitate the moves of the basketball players. And then there were the kids who were so, I mean, the students cheering them on were just amazing. And the students really bought into it. And as they were running down the court and everybody's, go, 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 the students would stop and look at everybody in the crowd and say, hey, and start waving. And it was fantastic. And the way they stole the ball from each other, they just walk up and politely take it and go about their way. It was the best, and I am so glad that they said first annual because I can't wait to see it again next year. That was, if you guys missed it, you really missed an amazing event. That was just, thank you to whoever came up with that idea, whoever put it on. It was fantastic. And then to follow up with my colleague's comment about Black History Month, I'll just end with some words by Frederick Douglass, who said, it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men or women now. And I think that here in Roland Unify, we are working to make sure that we build strong children so we don't have to repair broken men and women later on. So have a good one.
Thank you, Angie. There were three very excited community events in the week. Within a week, last week, the library reopened, and I was there and the and see the people so excited. And if you don't, you haven't seen the inside, I recommend you as soon as possible to visit the library. It's amazing. Everything's new and very advanced, and that will benefit to the community and they will benefit to our kids so much. And I'm very happy to see our kids play a very important role in the opening ceremony, and the whole ceremony was focused on our kids, and so I want to thank the Dr. Mitchell, Gina, and the school and the teachers out there and did an amazing job, and we had the tour day. District tour day, and I went to Shaolin because I want to see how the community, because that Shaolin Elementary is going to be the one to open a Mandarin dual immersion program. And a lot of parents, about 40 parents, visit Shaolin that morning,
and plus the media when they're in the cover the event. And I'm very happy to see one parent came from Temple City, and she said she spread the words in that area, Arcadia, Temple City, and because there's no dual immersion program in that area. So she said she wanted to drive her kids to Roland and attend. She kept asking me when would be the date for it, start enrolling. And I think very happy to see, and then more than. Yeah. So, yeah. And the parents came. The parents want to sign up the first day, and they came to the district. And I think we have no number yet, but I think we are going to have a 50. I'm pretty confident we're going to have at least 50 sign up. Yeah. The showcase was amazing, and when I step out of the parking lot, I start feel the strength and feel the high morale of the whole community center, and that representing the whole school district, the parents, kids, teachers, staff, administrators, everyone was so excited. And Gina did a good job. And again, Dr. Mitchell, in your leadership, that was very successful. Very, very successful. And every department had every school site had a booth there and showing their achievements and showing what they have done for the year. I want to clarify one thing. And on that morning, I have a guest came from Cal State Long Beach. And she introduced herself to the our staff and or the people she met or I met. She is the director of Confucius Institute. And I want to clarify, it doesn't mean I support the Confucius Institute to be in our district, because I don't think we have this need right now. So, and that was very sensitive when Confucius Institute involving the public education here. So, yeah, some other districts have that or some that's, but I don't think at this time our district has no need to get the support from the outside organization like that. So I just want to clarify that because she was there, and that's her job to visit the public school district, and that was the event open to public. So she is welcome to visit us, and there's nothing wrong. And I just want to clarify, I don't think there's any need to get the support from them. So yeah. And that's it. So have a good evening. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, next item is adjournment. So can I have a motion and a second to adjourn the regular meeting?
Make a motion.
Angie. And who's second?
Okay.
Donna. All of you say aye?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. So meeting adjourned at 7:49. Thank you.